This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph Waters. Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, our loving Savior. His words are love that have been spoken. One topic we should never tire of is just what it means to know Jesus Christ. And Dr. Wyatt will share with us what is for us all the final victory.
Thank you, Dennis. Sharon's reading is from the third chapter of Philippians. As the confirmation that in Christ Jesus we have, only because of Him, achieved the final and most important victory. I hope you will stay with us.
I indeed count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as refuse, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own based on law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that if possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brethren, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
Thank you so much, Sharon. These verses Sharon has read have confused many. Others have even misinterpreted them. And still others read through it all and miss the basic reasons behind these words and their import on our lives 2,000 years later. Paul begins appropriately by calling on this church to first rejoice in the Lord. It means for them, and surely for us, to verbalize our joy with praises and, yes, singing. It is why the Christian church, unlike any other major religion, sings as we gather together. We don't chant, recite in monotone a passage of our Holy Scriptures. We gather and sing out loud, in many cases some of the most stirring and uplifting lyrics in music ever heard. It is one of the great pleasures, at least for me, in attending church, to stand as believers together and sing one of the great hymns or a moving praise song and get lost in the moment praising our God. It has been part of the Christian church from its inception in Jerusalem. Here it is Paul's way to connect the Philippian Christians to the truth and beauty of their faith, even as they face their own present difficulties, what Paul will call their present sufferings. Such praises is Paul's answer to any and all adverse circumstances. For when speaking of persecution, he will always include the topic of joy and praise. It is for him something that must go together, something our culture would find incomprehensible, as indeed many Christians as well would find difficult to understand, that anyone, while facing difficulties, severe obstacles or hardships, even persecution, would find in it reasons to rejoice and glorify God. Be honest, Our world is one of pleasure, ease, and always blessings. We are uncomfortable with anything that speaks otherwise. But Paul would not have anyone lose their grip on what is to be our lives in Christ by compromising or diluting their faith to embrace some false or incomplete image that really has no future to it. Paul, for his day, will warn of those things which endanger our Christian existence. He will use language dripping with invectives and sarcasm, referring to those who have plagued him for decades, and will call them evildoers, those that mutilate, all of which is harsh and judgmental. But he has had it with those that lay layers of legalism onto salvation, in essence saying that God's grace through Christ Jesus is somehow insufficient. Their legalism here comes down ultimately to circumcision. This is why he uses the Greek katatomi, meaning cut to pieces, to contrast it with peritomi, that we are the true circumcision. At issue here is that there are those who will come, so be forewarned, who will teach that to belong to God's people and thus to be truly obedient to Christ, one must fully embrace the Torah. But Paul understands to add anything to grace as necessary is to eliminate grace, exchanging it for boasting in one's flesh. It is the idea that Sabbath keeping, observing food laws and circumcision are necessary to bring one fully under the blessings of Abraham. But Paul sees our identity in God not based in fleshly concern, but the Spirit. Faith in God's grace as expressed in Christ's death and resurrection. Paul will now include himself, saying, "We, both Jews and Gentiles, are the circumcision. Our identification as God's people is not in such outward acts, but in our real relationship with God based in faith. This is now the people of God." But he speaks not of a new Israel. Paul knows nothing of such. But it is only one people of God, now newly constituted, just as the Old Testament promised, a people based in God's Spirit and the Anointed One, which has enabled Gentiles to enter also into the inheritance of divine blessings promised in Abraham. One does not serve God by cutting flesh, but one serves Christ by the power of the Spirit. To serve by such indwelling spirit is vastly different and a far cry from full obedience to the Torah. It is a new life which has nothing to do with doing, but everything to do with living and walking by the Spirit, where we boast not in the flesh, but boast in Christ. It all causes one to pause and wonder how any today could add their own necessities to salvation, to our being considered one of God's people. But they do, judging how and in what way you are baptized, not to mention what was said over you in baptism. There are dress codes, your hair length, your hairstyle, not to mention what you do or don't do in your spare time, how often you attend church, whether you pray on your knees or on your face or whatever, and of course, whether you have joined the right church as they see it. The list goes on endlessly, changing frequently, and they are never satisfied with the results. Paul, however, has given us the correct understanding or appreciation of the true circumcision. Those truly of the people of God are those who worship God in spirit and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. This is not incidental to our faith. The effort to make all Christians proselyte to the Old Covenant was not an insignificant divergent or minor challenge. And it is no different in our day when there are those who insist on the need, as they put it, or necessity or requirements that Christians or just those of this church or that group that they must do this or not do that, or they must do something this way. It is no different than requiring Sabbath worship, food regimens, or circumcision. It is the adding to, laying something additional on top of God's grace. It is simply saying something more is needed besides the work of Christ on Calvary. It is saying that this redemptive work, Christ's death, is not all sufficient. Whole religious movements to this day have arisen, attaching themselves to the Christian movement, yet centered in some additional act, belief, or personage that is necessary for one's salvation. But it is Jesus Christ, it is glorying in Him alone, that is Christianity. Not in our acts, efforts, however laudable, that would be simply putting confidence in the flesh, and is robbing our worship in the Spirit, where we are to literally live in and abide in the Spirit's presence. Paul will in his argument stress that if it were in the flesh, if it was all about the natural, he exceeds them all. Beginning with circumcision, he had all of that done as decreed under the law. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, unto the law a Pharisee, so zealous he even persecuted the church, and unto legal righteousness without a fault. But true righteousness goes beyond all such matters. Indeed, he will add, the kingdom of God has nothing to do with food or drink, but with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. All these natural and fleshly add-ons, just what do they have to do with righteousness? Whatever gain I thought I had in such things, Paul declares, I now count it all as loss. It is a negative, all for the sake of Christ. Indeed, he says, it is all as nothing because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. What a statement! A statement which should strike us all to the heart. Everything the world considers of such great value, what most strive for, is in reality, in the words of Paul, refuge, street filth, the offscouring, in other words, less than garbage, counted as of no worth at all, that one may gain Christ, that we be found in Him, not having a righteousness of one's own, based on law, but a righteousness which is through faith in Christ. We must all come to the truth that it is not pride in our nation, a political agenda, our economic status, whether we see ourselves as particularly blessed or believe we have specifically and graciously been given favored treatment. It comes down not to our perceptions or our natural efforts, not by birth or race, but it comes down to this, the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. Early Christianity is marked by this personal knowing, and it is what has always marked our faith. It has never been who you think you are, what you have done. It is knowing Christ yourself. There is the old adage, God has no grandchildren, only children. Meaning each of us must be born of the Spirit, born from above. There is no halfway measure, which was the downfall of the Puritan faith. One must experience the truth personally. Know yourself the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus as our Lord, suffering all things as loss, that one may gain Christ, having found a righteousness through faith in Him. A righteousness, Paul states, that is from God and depends on our faith. As he has said earlier in this letter, for me to live is Christ. All the advantages, status, material gain, honors, all of it is as nothing in comparison to knowing Christ. This is not a head knowledge, but is relational, very personal. It is like a wife of a few decades now that you know so intimately you can read the body language, even the silence. It is this kind of knowledge and more, it is knowing Him as my Lord. The point is and must be obvious and constantly reiterated. It is about Christ, not about what we think we can bring to Him, for we can add nothing to grace, otherwise we cancel grace out. Everything but grace is refuse, for it is then, as Paul says, we can expect to gain Christ and be found in Him on that day. Precisely and because this is how we have experienced Christ. When we hear the expression of anyone, that something besides Christ and his sacrifice is required, of adding obedience to a specific interpretation, that something additional to glorying in Christ and worshiping in the Spirit is necessary, then mark it as putting false confidence in the flesh and one's own effort, all of which has nothing to do with a relationship with knowing the surpassing worth of Christ. Then Paul will add the disturbing note of knowing the power of his resurrection, and that we may share his suffering, becoming like him in his death, all that of necessity I may attain the resurrection from the dead. We don't like such words, such suffering. None of us do. But Paul was a realist, which few in our pulpits are these days. We want soft words, pleasantries, and the promise of blessings abounding. Paul faced difficulties, sufferings, as did our Christ. But even this we can rejoice in, for we know Christ and the truth of his resurrection, its power. His life is revealed in our mortal bodies, and Christ's resurrection guarantees our own. We are free then to rejoice in all things, and with abandonment face anything. We then can strive forward through all present difficulties, dire situations, even suffering for the sake of Christ. Never go back where it is safe, or retreat by conforming. Indeed, we can rejoice not because suffering is fun or enjoyable, but because it is evidence of our close and immediate relationship with Him. We are God's people, and we are now forever marked by the cross. Our lives as believers is to be imprinted by this Calvary, and yet by the Spirit, the power of His resurrection. This mark on us all is also the mark that declares that this final victory is assured. O Lord, let the Spirit abide in us all, that indeed we might see Thy hand at work in our midst, that we might see lives changed, bodies healed, and families brought together, that we might see the victory of God in our midst. For it is about Thy kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, all for Thy glory, and in Thy name, Jesus. Amen and amen.
My husband does enjoy retelling and underscoring often the incredible and awesome work of Christ, and what it truly accomplished for mankind. It was and is the redemptive plan of God now realized. It is about Jesus and His victory. To further that appreciation, we are offering Thomas's book, It Is Jesus, Only Jesus. This is a marvelous look at the uniqueness that is our Lord and Savior and can be yours at no cost. Just write and ask for the book, It Is Jesus, Only Jesus. We so desire your prayers, and I hope you'll consider becoming a part of this outreach. We would also appreciate your gracious support in any amount, large or small. Whatever you may wish to give will be most welcomed. For new partners are always such a blessing. It is in this way that we are enabled to proclaim the Word of God to a world so desperately, desperately in need to hear it. Our address is Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6J4N1. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. It is so much our faith that God is in control, and if we are abiding in Him, His victory is ours. Too many seem unsure or nurturing doubts, but we are to know that the end is already written. As one Anthony of Yonkers, New York has shared, your newsletters are so right on, encouraging while they challenge our complacency. What a great word, Anthony, complacency, and so true. I want you, if you're interested, to receive our newsletter. It is free. Just write and ask for it. Dennis will give our addresses right after we hear this from the album, When the Stars Burn Down, Travis Cottrell performing The Word of God Has Spoken. And until next week, know that you are victorious.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen your glory like the rising of the sun. You have conquered all our darkness. The battle has been won. The Word of God is spoken. We are changed forever. The power of sin is broken. We are free. We are running to salvation. We have been delivered. The Word of God is spoken. We are free.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write, and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available. Dr. Wyatt is also offering this week to all who will write a copy of his book, It Is Jesus, Only Jesus. This is a surprising look at how vital and irreplaceable is our Lord and Savior, not just for our salvation, but for everything. Do write and ask for It Is Jesus, Only Jesus.
It is yours at no charge. All you need to do is write. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time and remember what God has promised to those who love Him.